His glorious pillar of cloud was their guide. The theme of the sermon is, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." And we will look to our scriptures. The text for the sermon is taken from the books of Exodus, Exodus 13, the verses 21 and 22, where the word of the Lord comes to us. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud, and lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire, to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." 3 points of attention. First of all, the need for guidance. Secondly, the sign that guides. And thirdly, the faith that follows. But first of all, the need for guidance. When the people of God enter the wilderness, there is a great need for guidance. And secondly, the sign that guides. And then we see verse 21, "And the Lord went before them by the pillar of cloud of fire." And then thirdly, the faith that follows. He took not away the pillar in order that his people would follow him. Life, dear congregation, is like a journey. And children, when you are on a journey, say for example, you will travel to Florida, and there's a surprise because you will go by plane. You're really looking forward. And when you enter the airport, you're looking, well, what a lot of people here. So many places to go. Where shall I go? I don't know where to go. But then all of a sudden, your father says, well, just follow me. He has a book in his hands, because, well, fathers will read books, don't they? And he shows the book, follow me. And if you don't see me, just look for the book. Follow me, I will show you the way. Life is also like a journey. And in our lives, we need guidance. We need wisdom to make choices. Who to marry? What job to take? What school to attend, enroll. And we need a lot of wisdom. And we need provision in our lives. And why do we need that? Why do we need guidance and wisdom and provision? I think it's obvious. That's because to reach our destination, where we're heading for. And this is a great journey that we find here in our scripture reading this morning. The great moment of exile. Here it begins. So the whole Bible from Abraham till Moses and everything that happened in between was full of expectation. Till the great moment will come and the people of God really would go to the place where God had appointed them to go. The journey begins. Well, and it does not start here in Exodus 13. When we turn back a few pages and we see Exodus 3, where God calls Moses to be the leader of the people, then we hear the voice of the Lord. And the Lord said, "I have seen surely the affliction," verse 7, "of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." God has seen the affliction of his people. So even without coming to earth, he has seen, he knows what we go through in our lives. "I have surely seen the affliction." And because God has bound himself by the covenant to his people, he feels with them. He is with them. He is the long-suffering Savior. And I come down, says he says the Lord, to deliver them. And this is what he is going to do. To show to his people who he is. That he is the deliverer of his people. And so it starts with Moses. That God remembers his covenant. And he does something else. He reveals his name. And this is a very important moment in our scriptures. The Lord reveals himself to Moses. And why does he do that? Well, Moses asks for authority. He asks, what shall I say unto them? If he will just come up like a man with who he is and will tell the people of Israel, well, I will lead you out of bondage, what would they say? So who are you? Why should you lead us? So Moses by himself did not have the authority to lead them. But then he asks the Lord, what shall I say unto them? And the Lord replies, I am that I am. He is the one who has said to me. He has the full authority. God reveals his name before they leave. I am that I am. So what does that mean? What does this revelation of the name of the Lord mean at this very moment before they leave? Well, this name can be translated in many ways. And one possible translation is, I am with thee. I am with you. I shall be with you to deliver you. I am. I will be there. I will be present. In the very moment when you will leave from Egypt to the land of Canaan, I am. I will be there to deliver you. And well, there will be many dangers. There will be many oppositions. There will be many others who will claim the authority over you, my people. But I am. I will be there because the God of heaven and earth, he rules. He is king over his people. And he will show that he rules over heaven and earth. By the 10 plagues, he will show that he is the sovereign. And by the signs from heaven in the pillar of cloud and fire, he will show that he is Lord over all, the ruler from heaven. And he wants rule over Pharaoh to show the world that he is sovereign not only over earth and heaven, but also over all the powers that are on the earth. He wants Pharaoh to surrender. And well, then we have the whole history of the plagues, and probably children, you will know them, maybe by heart. And then we come in Exodus 13, verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let go, then God led them. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that amazing? When Pharaoh had let go. What is in that word? There's a lot in there. There's his surrendering. There is his acceptance that the Lord is sovereign over all, even over him. That he cannot control the people of God. When Pharaoh had let go, then God led them. There's no pause in between. Because the Lord cares for his people. He doesn't let them go astray for a while and says, oh wow, you're already there in the desert. You're already there in the wilderness. I will come after you. No, at the very moment when Pharaoh let go, it's like grandma. When grandma lets her grandchild go. Her one-year-old grandchild is not able to walk so good, so he leads him by his hand, step by step, and then his mother comes to pick him up, and what does his mother, she takes the other hand. That picture of the love and care of mother who takes the child because he cannot be left alone. He needs a hand to rest on. And the same thing we see here, when Pharaoh had let go, then God led them. What a grace that there's no pause in between. And how needed was it? Because they were entering now unknown territory. Now they go on a journey. They need to follow. And so, dear congregation, so we do need this guidance. We cannot be left by ourselves. But if God is not your guide, then who will guide you? If you do not follow Christ, who has the authority over your life? Well, you say, I have. Because I make my own choices and I know where to go and I'm in control. I'm in charge of my own life. Is it really? I think that the Bible is very clear. I believe the Bible is very clear on this point. You are either under Satan or under Christ. There's no in between. Well, Satan makes you think you're free to go. Satan promises you, well, you can do whatever you want. You can follow your dreams. But where does that path lead to? If you follow his advice, and if you want him to be sovereign of your life, where will you end up? There's nothing in between. It's either Satan or God who's in charge. When Pharaoh had let go, then God led them. So may this be encouraging for you too. Maybe you struggle with certain sin. And you knew from your past that the Lord has saved you. You can point to a moment that you knew, yes, I believe. And although you have to confess, help my unbelief. Be sure, when Satan had let go, God led them. There's nothing in between. Out of bondage, does the Ten Commandments say. Out of bondage from the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. That means that there is a change in authority. That they are not longer binded and blinded in captivity, but now set free. And what happens here is not just a single act of God, but the whole Old Testament recalls this event page after page. It's recalled because the children had to remember what God had done in grace with his people, that he had set them free. So this whole exile is all about God and what he has done. So, and when this word comes to us this morning, who is your guidance? Who gives you guidance in life? Who leads you through life? Acknowledge that he is Lord and Savior. That he is sovereign over our lives. Because you either acknowledge him or fight against him. That's the first point. God led them. And then the sign that guides. Secondly, verse 21 recalls the pillar of cloud and fire. What were these pillars? Maybe, children, you've seen pictures from it in a children's Bible. And then you sometimes see a beautiful shaped cloud that is really from the ground up to high in the sky. And at night it was fiery, so there was fire. There were no two pillars. It was one pillar of cloud and fire. It changed when the sun went down. The pillar changed in a pillar of fire to enlighten them. But what were those pillars? We don't have a picture. We do not have a picture in our Bibles. The Lord is not concerned so much about how it looked like. It's way more about its function. Why was there a pillar? Why did God give a pillar to lead them? There was a leader, wasn't it? Moses was their leader. He was appointed to lead them from Egypt to Canaan. So, why did they need a pillar? Well, what we have seen already in Exodus 40, and also in a lot of other texts in the Old Testament, that the pillar was meant to guide the people in the right direction. Like Daddy, who is holding the book. If you know, okay, I need to go that way. We read, for example, in Nehemiah 9, verse 19, "Yet thou in thy manifold mercies," that's about God, "yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsooked them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them day by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go." So, first of all, this pillar was meant for guidance, for direction. That's the first reason. But there is more. It's also meant for communication. We see that, for example, when we turn to Exodus 33, when we look at verse 10, Exodus 33, "And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend." So Moses is there in the tabernacle. And the pillar of cloud is resting on it. And Moses enters the holy atmosphere. And there he talks with the Lord. The Lord spake unto him. It's meant for communication. The Lord communicates through the pillar with Moses and the people. But it's also meant for protection. We see that, for example, in Exodus 14, where the people had gone out of the land of Egypt, and they are on their way, and all of a sudden Pharaoh thinks, well, let's take them back. And then the pillar comes between the Egyptians and the Israelites. Where it says in verse 24, "And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians." Protection. The Lord protects his people by means of the pillar. But it's more. It's also presence. The Lord is present in that cloud. We can read it, for example, in Numbers 12. And we read it also in Exodus 33, verse 10. That the Lord is in the cloud. That he was there. His presence was there. He is with his people. He is in the tabernacle because the pillar rests on there. He is present. He is in their midst. And finally, a fifth function, revelation. We see that, for example, in Exodus 16, verse 10. "And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. God reveals His glory. So there is revelation. He reveals something of Himself by way of the cloud or in the cloud. His holy, majestic glory fills the cloud. And we see that too when He enters the tabernacle for the first time. It was all filled with this holiness, with this majestic glory of God. So it was meant for five functions. Meant for guidance, for communication, for protection, for presence, and for revelation. And what does that mean, this all? What is this pillar then in one sentence? Well, it is a visible manifestation of Adonai, of Yahweh, of the I Am. He is the present, the promising, and the protecting God of heaven and earth. He is their King. Or like Psalm 121 says it, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. He is the one who never forsaketh the works of His hands. So this pillar, this sign of guidance was meant for guidance. And how much did they need it? So from a perspective of the people of Israel, they didn't know where to go. There was no itinerary. There was no plan. There was no route. You have to do one thing. Watch the cloud. And move or stay. God made it so easy. Just follow. Follow Him. Follow His presence. Be obedient. Be watchful. Be faithful. And if you are not, what will be the result then? If you would not follow this cloud, if you would not follow the Lord, there will be death. You are lost. Obviously. There's another perspective. God's perspective. The Lord who says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways," saith the Lord. And when the Lord goes somewhere else, not to the place where we expected to go, then He is still in control. And we can apply that to our own lives too. So maybe you have this want and this willingness of following Him wherever He goes, and you're really looking for guidance in your life. And well, all of a sudden things happen, you think, well, how can this be? Why did my mother need to go to the hospital? Why does my father need a brain surgery? Why did I broke my ankle? I thought I had to do this. And now something else happens. Look what a cloud did. It went where God wanted it to go. For His ways are higher than our ways, says the Lord. And what happened in Exodus 13? Verse 18 says, "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea." And it was not, like verse 17 says, the way of the Philistines, although that was near. It will be a very short trip. That could be, say, 40 days and you will be in Canaan. But instead of going left, the Lord turns right. Even to a point that they don't know what to do anymore. Because when we read on in chapter 14, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn." It even comes to a point that you think, well, now we follow the ways of the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, now turn. And why was that? Well, if you have a map, you can maybe trace it. It's a bit hard because people do differ about the visions of the exact route of the Exodus. But all of a sudden it comes to a point there's no way ahead of them. There's only just mountains. Mountains in front of them. Mountains to the left of them. And there's the Red Sea on the right. And the Lord leads them into the dead end. And that's also the point where Pharaoh comes behind them. It almost looks like a trap. How can the Lord of heaven and earth, lead us, lead me, in a way when there's no future? And when they just walk that way and have the mountains in front of them and to the left and the sea to the right, then all of a sudden Pharaoh is there. And they are kind of trapped. And that's where the Lord comes with his protecting power and puts the cloud between them and Pharaoh. Why does he do that? Well, we oftentimes want to have answers on that questions, isn't it? But here it's clear why the Lord did this. To show the world again that he is sovereign over all. That he is the king of all the earth. And that this people that seems to be lost just following a cloud in the wilderness are his people. And that he is a faithful God to those that follow him. What a grace. A God that guides, that gave a sign to guide obedient, watchful and faithful, follow wherever he goes. Well, dear congregation, where does this all lead to? Where does this picture point at today? That's our third thought, the faith in following. The faith in following. Because there's no cloud here in the church. And there's no cloud when you leave the church. And if there's a cloud, it's not a pillar. So how can I follow the Lord? How can I do his will? How do we relate to the people of Israel? Well, this is a huge question. And I'm not going to answer the question now in a few sentences, but some thoughts on it. Maybe you say, well, are we set free, just like the Israelites, out of the house of bondage? Are we like the Israelites because we are set free? Or maybe you say, well, because we are baptized. Or maybe the covenant. Well, if we apply all those thoughts to this history, that gives a lot of questions. How do we relate into the cloud? Where is the cloud? Where is the guidance of God? We should state something else. What God began in Israel is what he continues in the church. What God began in Israel is what he continues in the church. And when it comes to this very specific history, then it's all about he leads. He guides. He is the same God that guides us continually. And how does he do that today? Well, he gives us the means of grace to guide us. He gives us in baptism and in the Lord's Supper, he gives us very clear to see the means of grace, signs of his presence. But there's way more depth and there's way more riches here. Because all those functions, those five functions of the pillar of cloud and fire are fulfilled in Christ. For guidance. Because he is the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For communication, because Christ reveals God's will to us. He says not the things he wanted to say, but he says, like John recalls it, he says what God in heaven says. He communicates the heart of God to us. Christ reveals us who God is. But He protects. The third function. Christ is the one who protects us. From what does He protect us? Well, first and foremost of all, He protects us from the wrath of God over our sins. And secondly, He protects us from Satan. Because he is defeated. At the cross, Jesus has defeated Satan. He is the one who protects us from sin, from the consequences of sin. But there's more. There's presence. And although Christ went to heaven, He has sent His Holy Spirit to be and to stay with us till the last day. With His Spirit, He is in us. He is close to us. He shows us Christ. And finally, Revelation. Christ reveals Himself to us when we come to Him in faith. He shows us His glory. He shows us the glory and the beauty of God. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. This means that when there is no faith, there is no guidance. When there's no faith, you're doing like the children of Israel when they did not follow the Lord. When there's no faith, then you leave the cloud. And who will tell you then where to go in this desert of this world? That you're lost in the wilderness of life. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And what a gracious and a wonderful Savior He is. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He took not away. What a faithful God. And when we apply it to our New Testament church, we will say He took not away Christ. He is there. And every time when the gospel is presented, then Christ is there. Then we see by faith again the pillar. Then we see the one who to follow. Then we see the one who reveals God to us. He took not away. He is the faithful one who will remain faithful to His covenant people. He will remain faithful to His children. He took not away the cloud, the pillar of cloud and fire. He was there always. There was no day or the pillar of cloud and fire was there. So as long as we are in life, as long as we are on this earth, there is the manifestation of the gospel. There's the pillar. There is the protection, the guidance, the revelation, the communication. There is God in Christ to show us the way in life. And the preaching is a means to that. The preaching is a means to that, to give you direction. Like the pillars, as Jesus calls and says, come and follow me. And those who came to follow this pillar, and those who came to see the beauty of God in Christ, they make the glory of God their end. They make His word their rule. They make His Spirit their guide in the knowledge that the Lord goes before me. Well, young adults, maybe you're a couple. You want to be married soon, or maybe over a longer time, the Lord goes before you. How many decisions do you have to make, isn't it? The Lord goes before you if there is this faith in Christ. Then He is as the pillar to show you the way and where to go. Maybe you're expecting a child. He knows the way. He knows where to go. Cling in faith to Him and He will make your path straight. If you're going to the hospital, go to see a doctor, or whatever is on our way, on our life journey for the coming week, we have to follow the cloud. We have to follow the pillar. We have to follow Jesus, because that brings us to life, to Canaan. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing waters flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. And when I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, lend me save on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee. Amen.